Hello, my friends, and welcome to The Mastermind, an inside look into the exclusive and secretive world of high-level masterminds. I am your host, Marshall Wayne.
Hello, my friends. So I had a really fun coincidence today. As I was trying to put Malia down for a nap, Mallory was trying to get a hold of me, and I didn't see it. You see, Malia, she'll wake up at 5 or 6, and then, you know, I'll feed her a bottle, then we'll play, and then I'll hold her and stuff. And then, you know, a couple hours after she wakes up, she'll need a nap again. And so I was putting her down for a nap. And then once I finally got her down for the nap, I saw that Mallory had called a couple times, and she'd left a voicemail, but I didn't look at it. I just called her back. And then she said, "Oh, man, I just had a really cool podcast I shared with you, and I thought it... Well, let me play the voicemail." She gave me permission to play this.
"Hey, Marshall, I just sent you a podcast. I've listened to the last season, and I just listened to the 2 episodes on Argo and was starting the 3rd one, and I sent it to you because it's kind of your... It reminded me of your spy feel stuff, you know, and it's a good podcast. So I sent it to you and then started listening to it again, and like 2 minutes in, it said, "Oh, here's ex-Navy SEAL Stu Smith." And then he got on and started talking, and I was like, "Oh my God," and called you to tell you. So that is all. Bye.
So you see, she had liked this podcast called Covert.
Welcome to Covert, a show about the shadowy world of international espionage and top-secret military operations.
And then, you know, after she thought I'd like it and text it over to me, then she was surprised because then Stu was on the show as a guest expert to provide insight.
As the plane veered north, the cabin crew prepared refreshments for the passengers. Ex-U.S. Navy SEAL Stu Smith explained that air travel was different in the 1970s.
"Well, airline security was completely relaxed in the 70s and 80s. I mean, you used to be able to get on an airplane without checking bags. You know, no one would have metal detectors on. You could smoke on planes. I mean, it was a whole different world back then. So it was a great asset for a terrorist organization to get publicity, and they would get publicity, whether it was ransom money or it was getting their prisoners who were held captive in some prison freed. And that's typically what they use these airplanes for."
That relaxed security soon translated into full-blown panic. The atmosphere changed suddenly as 4 hijackers stood up wielding guns. They herded the passengers to the back of the plane. They wanted all of the hostages visible, and they were not especially gentle. Stu Smith offered a comment on hostage violence.
"Well, when the terrorists first take over a plane, the first thing they want to do is create fear on that plane. And the way they do that is they usually grab some innocent bystander, I think in this case a stewardess, and they either kill them or they hit them so hard that, you know, crushes their face, you know, blackens an eye, bloodies a nose."
One of the men was the obvious leader of the group and made straight for the cockpit.
So that was really fun, but it got me thinking. Stu and I had just talked on my podcast, not, you know, 2 episodes ago, I think it was. And then I was just on his with Jim Edwards last week. And so we've talked a lot about putting content out there so people can find us, right? And so I asked him if he could speak to that here.
"Hey, thanks for noticing that. I will say this. It requires multimedia. That's one thing that Jim Edwards and I really try to teach, that yes, social media is very important, but you really have to do everything to get your brand out there. And what I mean by that is I write articles. So I write articles for websites. I write articles for magazines. I still write books, ebooks. You know, you can find those books on in bookstores, on Amazon, my website, Stu Smith Fitness, you know, search engines, right? Also, I make a lot of videos too, so it's not just text. I make a lot of videos on Instagram and YouTube. They tend to be swimming and fitness related, with more of a military theme, because you see me running obstacle courses and teaching the combat swimmer stroke and doing a lot of calisthenics with, you know, rather large groups, and we're all wearing camis sometimes, you know, so it has that kind of a theme to it. And then I have my own podcast, the Tactical Fitness Report, that people find on YouTube, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, and, you know, of course, social media. Facebook does really well for me. Instagram's really good, and Twitter's growing. But I also have the standard email list and newsletters that people sign up for, and they get more information about what I do. I update those every week. And have membership programs on my site. So it's a variety of everything. I would say not a single one has brought in more than the other. People have found me by articles I've written. I've done some TV shows as well. So there's another form of media that was in there. And they found me through the internet, focusing on Navy SEAL fitness type searches, and you know, so it requires all of that, I think, if you really want to be a source that people can easily find, right? And you know, we can always share, you know, podcasts as well. So because I have a podcast, it's real easy to do, hey, I have you on my podcast, I'll be on your podcast. So there's so many mutual agreements that you can do with people, have our people write articles on your website, you write one for them, and the word just gradually gets out there. I think of it as casting a big net over the internet and all forms of media, and just trying to just pull it in, you know, one at a time. And I don't particularly write or speak or make videos for any one group of people. I tend to do it for that one guy, right? That one guy who is a producer that wants me on his show or his TV show or his podcast, or maybe a publisher that wants me to write a book about something. So that is where I tend to try to make a focus, even though I'm coming across with very good content for people to learn from and go and do themselves. When you throw yourself out there into the multimedia world, you really need to have those little things in mind, that you are capable of doing this on someone else's show or as an interview for an article or a podcast, for instance, or a radio show too. There's another form of media. So I've done several of those as well. So that is my answer. And that's a great question.
Now, Stu and I go back a ways. He's been a mentor of mine. When I enlisted into the Navy, I had this idea that I wanted to become a Navy SEAL. I was a two-time state champion distance runner in the mile and 2 mile here in Wisconsin.
State track and field meet in lacrosse, day two, a busy one. And a great afternoon. Marshall Donnerbauer of Chautauqua won the 3200 yesterday. Today adds the 1600 meter title at a time of 4:21.
Stick back behind, you know, stick in the pack and take it for the first three laps and then sprint at the end. And that's what I ended up doing. I took the last 300 pretty fast and I ended up winning.
And so I thought, with my super patriotism, the fact that 9/11 had happened not too long before I enlisted, it was kind of a perfect storm and a perfect thing for me. And so I enlisted into the Navy under the SEAL Challenge program. And then, as I do, I sought out a mentor. And at the bookstore, there's this book called The Complete Guide to Navy SEAL Fitness, featuring the 12 weeks to BUDS workout. BUDS is the what you have to go through to become a Navy SEAL: basic underwater demolition / SEAL training in Coronado, in San Diego, California. And so I thought, heck, you know, I'll buy the book, but I'm just going to call the guy up. And I can't remember if I called him up or emailed him. It doesn't matter. I ended up moving to Virginia, the outskirts of D.C., to McLean, Virginia, because I thought I'm going to train with this guy personally. And so I showed up to the pool, you know, because the first thing we're going to do is work on the combat swimmer stroke. I showed up to the pool with cash. I was making some good money at the time. I was running this international currency dealing business where I'd funnel money out of Iraq and then sell it to people in the military and contractors who wanted to invest in the distressed Iraqi currency, the Iraqi dinar. And I called my business the Iraqi Stock Investing System, ISIS. That later became a problem when the terrorist organization popped up and my enlistment into the Navy needed to be canceled because I really had to deal with some issues that were popping up and the FBI showing up at the door. It was a whole mess. So I sort of lost touch with Stu, you know, after we'd trained a lot. And, you know, this whole thing was going swimmingly well. But, and then it went very bad. The business did anyway. And then I didn't hear from him until, I can't remember the date, but whatever date Osama bin Laden was killed by SEAL Team 6, the joint effort between the Central Intelligence Agency and SEAL Team 6, and I'd saw this article, Maryland man helped train Navy SEALs who captured bin Laden. And I immediately was like, oh, I got to get back in touch with Stu, and then I can interview him for my Movie Star Entrepreneur show. And so I did. And, you know, it was just about how some of the SEALs in the bin Laden raid had trained with Stu in the same group that I was in. You know, I don't know what time they were there. I don't know that we crossed paths at all, and I wouldn't ask. But I thought it was fascinating, obviously, that sort of proximity. That is a high-level mastermind group that he had there, right? Obviously. Now, he didn't call it a mastermind group. It was just a training group to train people who wanted to become elite special operators, right? Of all sorts, Navy SEALs. I mean, he deals with Special Forces, Army. I mean, he deals with all sorts. People who want to go into the FBI, Central Intelligence, people who want to be policemen and firefighters. I mean, all sorts. You can look up his books on Amazon. I'll have a link here. But that is our journey together. So going back to content, I thought I would go through some of Stu's content on YouTube, on military.com, and other places, so you can get an idea of the sheer magnitude of stuff he puts out and has put out over the years. So if we just go through some of the things on YouTube that Stu has posted, he has 392 videos on his channel. Just look up Stu Smith. I'll put the link here as well. But he has, what is the combat swimmer stroke? This is a swimmer stroke you must learn if you're going to become a Navy SEAL. I went through that training down in Severna Park, Maryland with him. I'd show up, he'd critique my current stroke. You know, I grew up swimming in a lake, and I mean, I knew how to swim well, but it's a whole different ball game. And you can check out the videos if you're curious. But then he has another video, pull-ups going from 0 to 20 reps, and that has 456,000 views. The combat swimmer stroke one has 847,000 views. Then the next one is from, it's a National Geographic episode called Fight Science, where they test a Navy SEAL in the freezing cold. They test his performance before being submerged for 45 minutes in an ice bath, and then after, and then see if his performance stands up, and it did.
U.S. Navy SEALs are known for their intense training and cold water tolerance. In the test lab, former SEAL Stu Smith is upholding that reputation and exceeding scientists' expectations.
And then there's Stuart Smith, Navy SEAL Fitness, then 500-yard combat swimmer stroke in 7 minutes, then to tread water. I mean, there's 352,000 on the other combat swimmer stroke one, then the tread water one is 260,000. I mean, it's just a ton of views, so people find him through this. High school student swims combat swimmer stroke 500 yards in 6 minutes 35 seconds. That one has 29,000 views. And so people love watching these things because if you're preparing to become a Navy SEAL, Stu is the guy. He always has been the guy, but with all these videos out there, you find him easily. Let's go on military.com. I'm on his section, the author's section. So ask Stu how to train for special forces when you're a teen. Ask Stu how to pace your how to pace to ace your fitness test. Ask Stu indoor workout ideas, 5 quick options when time is short. Workout of the week, superset and swim PT. Workout of the week, build your own devil's mile. How to build mental toughness, pyramid workouts. Ooh, those are nasty workouts. How to prepare for the Murph workout. I mean, there's tons of them. I think he has like 1,000 on here. He said it in the episode that we chatted a couple episodes back, and you can check that out as well. I've put out so much content over the years, and sometimes I forget about it. I used to have this show called the Movie Star Entrepreneur Show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Movie Star Entrepreneur Show. I am your host, Marshall Wayne, and this is my brother, Kevin Neiman. He's the host of the G-Free Show. You've seen him on here before. And tell him a little bit about the show for the people who haven't seen it.
For those that haven't seen it, the G-Free Show, it's really just a web show dedicated to everything gluten-free. I talk about everything from product reviews to gluten-free in the news, or even do taste tests for everyone.
I started it when I was following Gary Vaynerchuk way back when he started Wine Library TV. And then he had this book called Crush It. But he's always talked about putting out content because people will find you.
You sell sneakers, you're in the fitness industry, you're a financial advisor, you're in real estate, you sell donuts, whatever you do, you're trying to run for mayor, you're trying to cure cancer. The number one thing that binds everybody in this room is that we all need the other person's attention before we can tell them what we want from them. Attention is the singular asset. It is the singular fucking asset. And right now, the attention of the world sits in mobile devices at scale. And there's only 7 or 8 places that we really consume content. You have to figure out how to send your message to the world in written, audio, and video content.
And on that Movie Star Entrepreneur Show, I could not find it. I've been looking it up. I've been trying to find the specific episode I'm talking about. But it was when the latest Forbes list came out. This is probably 10 years ago, maybe 8, I'm not sure. But I was just reading the list, like Bill Gates, number 1, Warren Buffett, number 2, and then I list off the what their net worth was. And then I started talking about how I have one of my closest friends, she's the scion of a family worth $15 billion, according to the Forbes list. And then I was just kind of going on about it. And then, you know, that was just another episode. I wasn't getting many views, so it didn't matter. Maybe a couple hundred at the time. A couple hundred views, you know. So it wasn't really a meaningful show in terms of getting views, but it was good in terms of me practicing speaking on camera. But I was also putting out some cinematic things. But anyway, a friend then shared me a YouTube link. It must have been months later. And it was to a song called Getting Paid by the platinum-selling rapper Soulja Boy. And so immediately when the song started, it was my voice on the record, or the YouTube link.
Cheers to the money guys. Good as bitch.
53.5 billion, 53 billion for Bill Gates, and Warren Buffett's at 47 billion. Not too shabby.
Cheers.
I get to travel in that world quite often, and it's interesting, especially being an entrepreneur.
Cheers. Sliding through the city in that purple thing. Soulja Boy, tell him, you know I'ma make it rain. Nigga, I'm the shit. Nigga, I'm the truth, man. Word around town. Soulja got the juice, man. 24 karat. Retro 4-finger ring. Bitches staring.
YouTube video. And I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. My friend who's creative, he's a professional copywriter, but he's creative in a way where he could easily just cut my voice into a song to be cool, you know. And then I thought, well, that's probably what he did. And then I looked at the channel, and it was actually Soulja Boy's official YouTube channel, because it was, you know, it houses his single Tell 'Em Crank That. That's his platinum selling single with 400 million views.
Ooh, Soulja Boy.
You
Soulja Boy tell. Hey, I got this new damn for y'all called a Soulja Boy. You gotta punch, then crank back 3 times from left to right. Soulja Boy, I'm in it. Oh, why me crank it, why me roll?
That was on that channel, and the other stuff was as well. And I was like, holy crap, this is Soulja Boy's official channel. They must have just been scrolling for money related YouTube videos, and then saw my thing, and then, you know, ripped the audio out of it and put it in their song. So that was a fun experience, and it was a little bragging rights. I mean, the song's called Getting Paid. I'm an entrepreneur. It's a rapper, a platinum selling rapper nonetheless. So it was good social sort of cachet for me, you know. I liked it. That all came from just putting out that show, right? I mean, I was just talking about the Forbes list. Another cool thing that happened on account of not the Movie Star Entrepreneur Show, but I put out a lot of ads that are super cinematic in nature. And I got an email one day from the Bravo Network, and they actually, I can read it. Hold on, let me see if I can't find it. I have to search here though. Let's see. Hold on, I can pull it up on Facebook maybe. I've got it somewhere in my photos. I think it's under Origin Stories, I'd imagine. Let's go to Albums. So as you can see, this new podcast format, super informal. And it's just based around what I can do. Okay, I think we're almost there. Okay, here we go. Here is the email. Okay, here's what I said in the... I posted it to Facebook, 517 likes, but I'll say what I said first, and then I'll read the email. Bravo, exciting news. This was February 25th, 2015. Bravo, exciting news. Yesterday, I was contacted by a member of the Bravo Network for me to pitch my own show. While it's just a chance to pitch their executives at the moment, it's a big step. I've had an idea in mind for years and had just planned to shoot it, star in it, and edit it all myself as a one-man band. But if this pans out, that small idea may be a big idea. I talked to them yesterday, and they liked the way I positioned myself in my images and videos in a cinematic manner. I had no knowledge that anyone was even paying attention. So no matter what happens with this, it gives me confidence that at least a few people in Hollywood like my style. It's a start. I'm now putting together a sizzle reel, and we will see if I get the chance to pitch the show to the network in person. Here is the email. 2:26 p.m. Dear Mr. Wayne, my name is, and then I redacted all this, and I'm going to keep it redacted here. I was recently referred to your website, and I think your business is extremely interesting. In a few weeks, I have the opportunity to pitch a reality television concept to studio executives, and then they listed off the names. I think your business would make for fantastic television, and I'm wondering if you have any interest in this. I'm happy to meet with you and talk this over. I'm including my producer, then the name, in this message, sincerely, and then their name, and then Bravo Network, and address, and everything. So that was fascinating. Now, I should read this too. I think I posted, okay, I posted also the email with the rejection. I will tell you what I said, and then I'll read it to you. This is March 13, 2015. I just got my first Hollywood rejection letter last night. Letter in quotes, because it was an email. The Bravo show isn't a go. You'd think I'd be disappointed, but my life has largely been a series of one green light after the next, so to be disappointed on occasions when things don't work would be poor taste. I'm so thankful that this opportunity came to me in the first place. I learned a lot and made new contacts that may very well be larger Hollywood players in the future. I didn't intend for this opportunity, at least not specifically. Bravo found me, they reached out, and they put in the major load of the work. The decision makers just didn't think I was a fit they needed, and that isn't hard for me to swallow. I'm simply thankful for having the experience at all. If the past is any guide, something quite unique will happen right around the corner from this. It always has. Here's the email, March 12, 2015, 6:11 p.m. to Marshall Wayne from... I redacted it. Hi, Marshall. We didn't land the show. I'm sorry. We had a good experience working with you and prepping, and I have some promotional materials I'm happy to send your way if you want. Thanks for doing this with us, and the best of luck with your endeavors. And then her name. So that, I mean, that whole thing was fantastic to me. I mean, I loved it. Just to be considered. You know, the concept was the Real Housewives had dominated that network and still does to this day. And they thought if they could have a male show to balance it out, and the pitch was like a small town Wisconsin boy makes good in Hollywood, and maybe we would do branding makeovers. You know, Hollywood's an image oriented town, and I'm an image oriented business, and we would take business people that had a terrible image, terrible branding, and make it all over. Like, their business would be made over, their website would be made over, their social media would be made over, and then they would be made over by Hollywood stylists. That was the concept. I would still love to do this if anybody's listening. Hey, this is a piece of content. I don't know if it'll go anywhere. Right now, nobody listens to this show, but somebody may listen to this and say, yeah, let's pick up that idea. And so anyway, that came about because I put out a lot of content, and all my stuff is so cinematic in nature that it wasn't a stretch for them to think, hey, this guy already looks like he should be on TV or a movie. We can easily just go with him. We don't have to train him or anything. And so that was the concept. It didn't go through. It was a long shot in the first place. But man, it was nice to be considered. Anyway, that's all I have. I'm going to go snuggle with Malia. She's playing on the carpet right now. And I'm just away from her right now. So I have decent sound right over in this spot. But that's it for today. Thank you all for listening.